So, just to review, yesterday, it's really important in the history of philosophy, but anyway. Because it's very difficult to reconcile the lower school of Buddhism and the higher school of Buddhism on the question of what happens when you reach nirvana. You see, because the lower school is saying, oh, you escape the cycle of rebirth. And then the higher school is saying, you stop your pleasures, your mental afflictions, you see. But really, it's the same thing, you see. Because what you're seeing right now is governed mainly by the negative thoughts you've had in your life, in your past lives. So that the fact that you have to die in this world, the fact that you see war, or hunger, conflict is coming from you as much as the pen, okay? As much as the guy who's yelling at you, every experience in your world is coming from you, and from your negative emotions. And then we were saying all along that the only way to stop your negative emotions is to see ultimate reality. It's the only way, okay? The other... You can think, oh, this person who's yelling at me is going to pass sooner or later. Or you can think that I can't really control the situation. Or you can try to turn a bad situation into some kind of temporary advantage, right? You can struggle to reinterpret the bad things in your life as something useful. And those are nice spiritual things to do. But they don't solve the problem, right? I mean, those are just dealing with the problem and not removing the problem. So every spiritual method which teaches how to deal with a problem is considered in this thinking not to be real teaching. Okay? To say, oh, stand there while the guy yells at you and sooner or later he will stop. Or smile and make the best of it. Or try to see that something better is happening, right? Reinterpret all the bad things that happened here. And then in this school, there's a different approach. They're saying, let's make them things that never happen. And then you don't have to be patient with them. And you don't have to reinterpret them. And you don't have to learn how to cope with them. Don't learn how to cope with bad things. Arrange it so that they never happen. And then you don't have to cope with anything. See what I mean? So in this system, in nirvana, you're trying to remove forever just all the bad things that happen to you, okay? In advance. In advance, you prevent that from happening, okay? That's the idea. To do that, you have to understand what ultimate reality is. And we said yesterday that ultimate reality was the absence of something. Something missing, like your credit card at the restaurant. Like you thought it was there, but it's not there. Okay? So what is missing in a usable example of ultimate reality? Okay, like in an example that we can all really use in our own lives, where is the ultimate reality? And we said someone who calls you
stupid.
Okay, someone who calls you, what is that? Ben Kao in Chinese. Okay? Ben Kao, I like it. It means stupid mouth. Ben call. So you meet a Ben call. And they say you're stupid. You know, you're a stupid person. And then the natural reaction is to say, no, you're stupid. You answer with you're stupid. By saying that, you plant another seed in your mind and you will meet another stupid person in the future. Okay? So you can remember that. The next time, Swamiji started out the whole teaching on the Gita by saying that the highest dharma is forbearance when someone is injuring you or insulting you, you see? And here's a real method you can use. You can look at them and say, you know, well, this person is coming from me. And if I respond in a negative way, I will have to meet them again. So if you don't like somebody, what's the best way to get rid of them? Just be quiet. Yeah. Don't respond. You see? Don't make new karma. You see? You can't eliminate all the enemies in your life. it's possible, and you don't need a gun. It saves money and trouble. You see, I did it. I had 800 people working in my building in New York, and I, one by one, I cleaned them out. One day the accountant came to me. He said, "Everybody's staying till 9 p.m. They're cheating you." I said, "No, no, you check the time cards." And then he checked. He said, "They all say 5 o'clock, but they're all staying till 9 o'clock." And I said, "I know." And he said, "Well, why are they staying till 9 o'clock if they don't get paid from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock?" I said, "They love it here. They want to stay here." I cleaned out the whole place, 800 people. You know, you can do it. It's very strange. The whole ashram is harmonious and you know, friendly, and it's cool. You work on people one by one. So this person's irritating, so I'm going to stop being irritating. You know, or this person can't keep the beat on the song, so I'm going to practice a little bit more. You see, that's how you get rid of people you don't like. Okay, that's the only way. You do the opposite karma, and you clean them up. Okay, so that's one way to think about it. But yesterday I was asking that you try to do a meditation in which you imagined that the last person who insulted you, you try to examine whether they are coming from their own side, right? Is the person coming from your own side? What did we say? Are they coming this way or this way? Yeah, just do it. Do it once. It's good luck, okay? It also means to your wife or husband, get out. But you can, this means he's coming for you, this means he's coming from his own side, right? This means I'm not to blame. This means I created him, got it? This means I'm not to blame. This means I created him, right? So now the tricky thing, if you want to reach ultimate reality, if you want a taste of ultimate reality, Rasa, right, is to focus on the next person who insults you and see if they're coming from. Try to find the guy who's coming from his own side. Try to find the guy who's coming from his own side. And what will happen? You won't find anything. He's not there. He never was there. All right. But the one you get angry at is the one who comes from his own side or the one who's coming from you? It's the one who you think is coming from his own side. You see, you cannot be angry at a person if you understand that they're coming from you. You can't be angry at them. You would be angry at yourself. You're the only person to blame is yourself in any situation, always, forever. Okay? There was never any other person to blame. If the guy is calling you stupid, it can only be because you did that. If you didn't do that, he wouldn't call you stupid. He couldn't call you stupid. He wouldn't be there in the ashram. You brought him here. Okay? And you made him say everything he says. You see? You gotta get that. I'm not saying reflect on the fact that he came from you. Think, listen carefully. I'm saying try to see that he's not even there. Okay? Try to see that the guy you thought was there was never there. The guy that wasn't your fault, right? The guy that wasn't your fault, does he exist? Does he exist? Does the guy who's not your fault exist? No, just see, try to grasp, try to work with that why. That's very close to ultimate reality. That is the absence of the guy who's not your fault is ultimate reality. That is ultimate reality. The absence of a guy who never was there and could not be there is ultimate reality. And if you see it, you're liberated. You achieve moksha. Okay? Get a taste for it. Get a taste for it. All right? So rather than focusing on the guy and saying, "Oh, he's coming from me," which you can do and it's true, rather focus on the guy and say, "The guy I thought was there is not there. And I was getting angry at phantoms my whole life. My whole life, every person I ever disliked was a phantom, wasn't there. They just weren't there." So get used to that, because that could flip you into viveka khyati, the perception of, the direct perception of ultimate reality, okay? Because that's close. That's the closest you can get with a conceptual state of mind to the direct perception of ultimate reality. Focus on people you don't like and realize that they don't exist. Okay? So, but we're going to practice something, all right? We're going to practice something. This comes from a lama named Kitsang Lobsang Jamyang Bunam. He was born in 1689. Lucky for you, he attended the greatest monastery in the world, which is called Serame. Okay? He was a Geshe from Serame. That's my monastery. He had a very beautiful thing. He said, there are four ways that things go. Okay? About ultimate, if you want to know, we're going to do a little ultimate reality. We're going to talk a little bit about ultimate reality tonight. Okay? And somehow that's going to lead to love. Okay? By the end, to compassion. Okay? So here we go. He said there are four ways in which you can see. Let's take the guy who calls you stupid, since he's been around for a few days now. Okay? Or maybe longer. He said there are four possibilities going on about how you see him. And if you want a Buddhist emptiness meditation, this is it. Okay? It's a beautiful piece. He said, number one, bumban nangshin, zimba. He looks like a guy calling you stupid, and you take him to be that way. All right, I'll say it again. He looks like a guy calling you stupid, and you take him to be that way. Is that correct or incorrect?
Incorrect.
Careful. Be careful. Who said that? Yeah, good. He said that much is correct. Okay, there's no problem yet. All I said is a guy is calling you stupid, and you take him to be that way. He's a guy calling you stupid. There is a guy calling you stupid. We didn't make a mistake yet, and there's no avidya yet, and everything is pramana so far. Everything is a correct perception so far. There is a guy standing there. He is calling you stupid. And he appears to be that way, and you take him to be that way. All pramana. All correct perception. No problem there. There is a guy there. You can say illusion, maya, all you want. The guy is irritating. That proves he exists. No, he's there. And he's real. That part is real. Okay, you have to understand these four. And then you'll get to ultimate reality. I'm going to get fuzzy, what do you call it? Warm and fuzzy in a few minutes. But I want, this is for the ashram people. You ready? Okay? This is the meat of the matter. Okay? That's number one. Number two. Bhupa Bandir Timnang Shin Zimba. He seems to be coming from his own side, and you hold him to be that way. Got it? He seems to be coming from his own side, and you hold him to be that way. You take it to be that he decided to call you stupid, and that's his choice, and his decision, and his will is to call you stupid. And that's why he's calling you stupid. He appears to be acting on his own accord, on his own willpower. And it appears that way, and you accept that that's the case. Is that correct? Neither half is correct. Get that straight. That's more difficult. Neither half is correct. What? Him appearing to come from his own side and you taking him to come from his own side are both wrong. Got it? So in number two, both sides are wrong. He looks to be running on his own rather than what? Coming from your samskaras, coming from your consciousness. He looks to be running on his own, but he's not. He looks to be running on his own and you take it to be that way. Okay? From his side, he appears to be running on his own. From your side, you take it to be that way. That's number two. Okay, both are wrong. Okay? So far, we're going to have a quick exam. Is there a stupid guy up there calling you stupid?
Yes.
Does he appear to be calling you stupid?
Yes.
If you take him to be calling you stupid, are you making a mistake?
Yes.
Let's run by that again. A guy is calling you stupid. Does he appear to be calling you stupid? If you take him to be that way, is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, he's there. He's calling you stupid. Okay. Second step. He appears to be calling you stupid from his own will, from he wants to call you stupid. He's from his side. And you take him to be calling you stupid from his own will. Is that correct?
No.
No, you made him. You created him. You forced him to come to the ashram. And you have created every word he said. It appears the opposite, but it's not. It appears that way, and you take it to be that way. Those are two mistakes. Got it? Okay, we finished two. Here comes the third one. You notice that they come in pairs. Right? He appears to be a guy calling you stupid, and you take it to be a guy calling you stupid. That's okay. He appears to be a guy who's calling you stupid from his own side, and you take it to be a guy who's calling you stupid from his own side. Those are both wrong. Got it? You okay so far?
Yeah.
Okay, now it gets worse. Bumba me do bumba teme do no shim simba. Suddenly you grasp that there's no guy calling you stupid who's not your fault. And he no longer appears to be calling a guy calling you stupid who's not your fault. Got it? I'll say it again. Suddenly, he no longer appears to be a guy who's not your fault. And suddenly, you take him not to be a guy who's not your fault. Got it? You correct your mistake. Okay? That's the perception of ultimate reality. Okay? That's the perception of ultimate reality. He no longer appears to be coming from his side. And you don't take him to be that way anymore. Got it? Would you like to be at number three?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Talk klesha to me. Talk klesha. You can't have a klesha towards someone that you know you created. Okay. Unless it's Jyoti and you're his mom. I mean, that's different. I'm just kidding. If you know you left the water on the bathroom floor and you step in it, you forgive yourself. I mean, that's the way it goes. If you know it's somebody else, you get angry. Right? In number three, I understand he's not coming from his side. He doesn't even appear to be coming from his side anymore, and I don't take him to be that way. Is that a good place to be?
Yes.
Yes. Why?
No pressure.
No pressure. You can't get angry. You'll be calm and collected. You will fix the situation. Okay? I must be calling people stupid. A real yogi, when someone calls him stupid, the first reaction is, I must have done that. And they start examining who?
Themselves.
And they don't worry about that anymore. Because it doesn't fix them. If you concentrate on yourself, if you say, I must have called somebody stupid last week, then they just go away. 800 people in a building downtown who want to work online for no pay. You know, you will change your reality. You see, your whole reality will change if you just understand number three. Okay? He no longer appears to be coming from his own side, and I don't take it to be coming from his own side. We want to get to number three. Okay? Number four. Number four is just the positive. Number four is the positive expression of number three. Okay, here we go. Which is, by the way, not ultimate reality. It's a relative reality. It's a true relative reality. He appears to have been produced by my past deeds, and I take him to be that way. Got it? He appears to have been produced from my past actions, and I take him to be that way. Is that positive or negative? It's positive. He is coming from my past actions. Is that positive or negative? It's positive. I didn't say not, right? Number four is positive. He appears to be coming from my past actions, and I take him to be that way. And that's correct. Okay. It's not ultimate reality. Ultimate reality is number three. Ultimate reality says, he is not what I thought, and he no longer appears that way. Okay? Ultimate reality is always negative. It has to be a negative. The only one which can save you, the only one which can stop your negative emotions forever, is number three. Why? We talked about it driving from the airport to the dock. What's the dock called? Sunshine Dock or something?
Mermaid.
So you're driving from the airport to Mermaid Dock. You see a beautiful girl, you know, standing in the storefront, and then you get out of the car and suddenly you realize she's a mannequin, right? Then where does the desire to have her email go? Her email address. What happens to the desire to have her email address? It just vanishes. It's no, there's no longer Alan Bunda. There's no longer any support for that idea. You don't want an email address from a mannequin. You know what I mean? No, and there won't be any chance that you will somehow slip out. You never, yeah, she never, he said she'll never answer. So, but try to get the feeling, you see, what, when you have that sudden moment of realization that she's not human, you can never again ask for her email. It will never cross your mind again. Okay? It just can't happen. It's the negative thing that's important. Okay? He's not there. The guy calling me stupid, who's not my fault, was never there. He's just not there. That realization is so powerful that you see that's the direct, that's ultimate reality. And that can get you to Nirvana. Only number three. Even number four, which is so cool and so true, is not going to do it by itself. See, you can't go to the mannequin and say, oh, look, she was made in a factory, and she's made out of plastic, and that's not going to do it. It has to be, oh, my God, she's not a human. She's not a living person. She's not at all what I thought she was. Got it? She's not a person. All the people you ever got angry at were not people. They don't exist. You see, if you could get that, you just would never get angry anymore. To think, oh, he's coming from my bad seeds, maybe I should be a better person. It's good, but it's not ultimate reality. It's good, but it's not the ultimate thing. To suddenly look at this person and say, the guy I thought hated me is not there. The guy I thought didn't like me was never there. Then you can't be angry again. You just can't get angry. It's not a thing of trying to convince yourself, oh, I should be spiritual. I'm not supposed to get angry. I'm in an ashram. Why should I hit somebody? You know, it's not going to work, you see. If you can look at the person and say, the person who's calling me stupid, who's not coming for me, was never there. They're just not there. Then how can you get angry at them? There's nobody to get angry at. Got it? Okay. There's nobody. There was never anybody there. Every time you ever got upset in your life, the least bit off balance, the person you were thinking about wasn't there. This is the tragedy of our life. Every doubt you ever had, every anger, every irritation, every slightly upset at somebody, they were all focused at something that wasn't there. And that's the tragedy of life. See it. So you've got to try to get to number three. Now, one more thing. Geshe Michael always says, he's got like six more things. I thought you might like to feel the difference between reaching nirvana. Sorry, three things. Four things. A person who has no clue about ultimate reality. Number two, a person who has seen, they've had that peak experience and they have seen ultimate reality directly. Second case. Third case, a person who reaches nirvana. Okay? Fourth case, what? A person who reaches enlightenment. I want to talk about those four. Ready? I'll say it again. Someone who has no clue what's going on, they're just a normal person. Number two. If you had a clue what was going on, you could make $100 million in a few years. It's not difficult. You just don't know what you're doing. I'm not kidding. A person with no training and no interest in business can work part-time and make $100 million if you knew what the hell was going on. Okay? Here we go.
No clue.
Number one.
No clue.
Person has no clue. They don't even think about it. Mm. Okay? They never came to Swamiji's Yoga Sutra or his Gita. Okay? Number two. The person what?
Little bit.
They saw ultimate reality directly. Mm. We call art. You can say Vivaka. Viveka Kyapti. Number three, what was that?
Nirvana.
A person who reached Nirvana. And then number four?
Enlightenment.
A person who's reached full enlightenment, which is higher than Nirvana. Okay? Nirvana is just to get rid of your anger forever. Enlightenment is something beyond that. And we'll talk about it. Okay, so here we go.
Number one.
How many of those people see a stupid guy there? All four. You are so hot tonight. All four. They all four see a guy calling somebody stupid. Alright? The Buddha sees a guy calling somebody stupid. Someone who reached Nirvana sees a guy calling somebody stupid. Someone who saw ultimate reality directly sees a guy calling somebody stupid, and a guy who has no clue about anything, but just got off one of those tourist ships and is headed to Atlantis. They also see a guy calling somebody stupid. That's all right. It appears that way, and they take it that way. Am I right? Mm. All four. Yeah. Am I okay? Yeah, it's Pramana. It's there. Okay. Number two. Which one of them sees somebody coming from their own side and takes that to be coming from their own side? Let's go through the four people. Okay? They take the guys, they see the guy appears to be his own side, and they take it to be that way. Got it? So number one, does the guy who's got off the tour ship headed for Atlantis, does he see the guy, does the guy appear to him to be coming from his own side and he takes it that way?
Yes.
Yes. How about the guy who saw emptiness directly? Does the guy appear to be coming from his own side?
Yes.
Now, this is delicate. This is important, okay? After you come out of your first direct perception of ultimate reality, the world slips back into appearing to come from its own side. Okay? The world does appear to a person who has reached Viveka Kyapti to be coming from its own side, but they don't take it to be that way anymore. So that's a very difficult state to be in. You don't believe what's going on. You see it that way, but you don't believe it anymore. It looks like the guy is coming from his own side, but I know better. But you can't stop how he's appearing. Okay, that's Viveka Kyapti. Okay, it's very beautiful teaching. How about Nirvana? Person who reached Nirvana. Does the guy appear to be coming from his own side to a person who reached Nirvana?
No.
No.
I gotta check. Yeah, you're right. No, you're not right. Still appears to be, but they don't take it to be that way. And they have no, what do you call it? Seeds to do that anymore. Okay, let's go. Okay. So they don't have number two. Okay. Number three. How about Buddha? How about enlightened being? Does the guy appear to be coming from his own side to an enlightened being?
No.
No. And do they take it to be coming from his own side?
No,
because then he's not even appearing that way anymore. Okay? Alright, got it? This is beautiful. If you can go through these permutations, then you understand ultimate reality. Okay, third one. This is hard. I grasp that the people I used to get angry at were never there. I grasp, I understand that every person I ever got angry at in my whole life, there was nobody there. Okay? Meaning what? A guy who was coming from his own side was never there, but you cannot get angry at any other person. The barometer of whether you understand the other person is whether you can get angry at them. Because if you can, you have a vidya. You cannot get angry at a person without a vidya. It's not possible. Without misunderstanding who they are, you cannot be angry. It's very interesting. I'll say that one more time. You could never be jealous or angry or upset at a person unless you are misunderstanding who they are. It's not possible. It's pretty cool. That means you could get rid of your anger and your irritation forever. You see? Okay, so number two. To the guy who just got off the tour ship, does the guy appear to not be coming from his own side?
No.
Does he take it not to be coming from his own side? Good. To the guy who just saw emptiness, ultimate reality directly, does the guy appear to not be coming from his own side?
No.
Yes.
No. No. He still appears wrong.
Yeah.
He still appears to be coming from his own side. But now this guy is not gonna
take
him as coming from his own side. He takes him to be not coming from his own side. But he doesn't appear to not be coming from his own side. Okay? This is for the Ajahn people, okay?
Mm.
I'm assuming the rest of you are asleep by now. Okay. Got it? He just saw emptiness. Now what about a guy who just reached Nirvana?
Same.
Same. Yeah. It's the same. What about a Buddha?
Same.
Yeah. No longer. Sorry. the guy appears to be not coming from his own side, and the Buddha takes him that way. Right? Okay. We got one more. Alright. He came from me. Right? He came from me. To the guy who got off the boat and is headed for Atlantis, and somebody calls him stupid, does the guy appearing to be coming from his past karmic seeds?
No.
No, because he never heard of past karmic seeds. Okay. Does he take him to be that way?
No.
Good. You're all there. It's amazing. Okay. I'm having trouble. Okay. Number two. The guy who saw emptiness directly. When somebody yells at him, does he think? Does the guy appear to him to be coming from his own karmic seeds?
No.
But does he take him to be that way?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, what we're saying is that for a person who just saw ultimate reality, he's not good enough yet at that kind of thinking to pull it up in an instant. He's not fast enough yet. He doesn't have enough practice yet. He just saw ultimate reality yesterday, okay? Then some guy comes up and says, you're stupid. And his mind sees a guy not coming from his seats. But his understanding says, whoa, wait, don't get angry. We saw yesterday, he's really coming from your own seats. See, it takes time for him to pull out his worldview and not yell back. He'll probably say, no use. You see? And he'll catch himself. Got it? Because even though the guy doesn't appear to be coming from his own mind, he understands that he is coming from his own mind, but he hasn't been practicing that perception of ultimate reality frequently enough to catch how he's coming from his own mind in the moment that he's coming from his own mind. When you get good at the meditation on ultimate reality, you can watch a person who's yelling at you come from your mind. You know, it's not an intellectual thing. You observe him coming out of your mind. Then can you get angry at him?
No.
I mean, you can get angry at yourself. So there's a point at which your meditation is so good that when someone yells at you, you actually see that they're coming. You actually watch how they're coming out of your mind. And then there's no problem. Okay? Got it? All right. Now, something else. Now, last thing. Okay? We have a few minutes left. Where does compassion fit into all this? You see? Where does love fit into all this? And it's a huge, huge debate in Buddhist schools. You know? If I don't have love for other people, if I'm not motivated by a concern for the welfare of all the living creatures of the world, is it even possible to see ultimate reality? Could I make the necessary seeds in my mind to see ultimate reality? The question comes up in Buddhism. Without compassion, is it possible to plant enough seeds of understanding to get what I'm saying tonight? If you had no care for other people at all, would you be able to understand what I just said? What do you think? The highest scores say you can. It's possible. It's not good, but it's possible. It's possible. Almost like a physicist understands that the floor is not real. With no care about other people, they'd like to make a bomb. They can reach those deep understandings without compassion. It's possible. It's possible to manipulate the laws of karma to your own uses in a lousy, half-hearted way without compassion. It's possible. Like a physicist who really gets a deep insight into atomic theory and then makes a bomb to kill millions of people. It's possible. They can have deep insights, intellectual insights, without compassion. It's possible. But you cannot get to the point between nirvana and enlightenment without compassion. You can't go the extra step from him appearing to come from his own side to him no longer appearing to come from his own side. That extra step cannot be done unless you have compassion in your mind. It's not possible. In this tradition, you cannot become an enlightened being, which means you cannot really grasp the deepest workings of reality unless you have compassion, unless you're doing it for somebody else. It's very beautiful. We call bodhicitta, right? Ultimate love. It's not possible to have the deepest realizations of things without ultimate love. It's not possible. So that's just a... It's just a fact of the universe. What does ultimate love mean? Almost. You're cooling off there. Okay. Try to get this feeling, okay? Try to get this feeling. Every single person. Let's pretend you're standing above the world with your guru, okay? It always happens with your guru. You're at your guru's side. You are at your heart lama's side. This is the way it always goes, at the end, okay? And you are standing above a whole planet. Like you're standing on the atmosphere, okay? You're standing on the top of the atmosphere with your heart on the atmosphere. Just imagine. Your feet are on the last part of the air. Okay? And you're looking down on the world that you take care of. This world is your responsibility. And you are watching the globe spin. And you are watching dawn cross from the, what is it, east to the west, right? It's going from Europe to China, whatever. You are watching the dawn cross the planet. And then, because you're already enlightened, you see 6 billion people get up. Some of them are like me, you know. They're like, snooze. And then finally they get up, you know. Like that bell goes off. And then some are jumping out of bed. They have high hopes for a good day, you know. Some are old, some are young, some are women, some are men. You know, animals are waking up also. Some are going to bed. I have coyotes around them. They go to bed at dawn. But most people and animals get up at dawn, right? So you watch the world get up. 6 billion humans, right? And every single one, every single action taken by every single person who gets out of bed as you are watching is mistaken. From brushing their teeth to building an empire, every single action is mistaken. Everything they ever do is mistaken. And everything they ever see is mistaken. So you gotta appreciate the breadth of avidya. You have to appreciate how much of what you do is avidya. Everything you ever did was wrong. Every time you turned on a light, every time you ate a meal, every time you spoke to someone, it was a mistake. And it must lead to pain. It must lead to pain. And then imagine standing over a world of 6 billion people and knowing the only reason they suffer is because they're seeing something that was never there. Okay? It's a tragedy. It's a global tragedy. You are standing with your heart guru, lama, over a world you've reached enlightenment. You're looking down and you have this intense realization that all the suffering that ever happens in the world was unnecessary. It was just a way of thinking that it was wrong. You see, like the whole planet could be fixed in a few decades, 10 years, 15 years, if people just understood what was going on. You see, the whole world would be fixed easily. How would you make money?
Giving.
Just giving with the proper intention and the proper knowledge. You can make money. And cancer. You can stop cancer. I have students who they're getting like unreasonably old. Like friend, I have this lady friend I have, she's 70 something. She insists on coming out and building Adobe buildings with us. 50 pound Adobe blocks. She's like, how tall is she? Is she 5 feet?
Yeah, like
maybe 5 feet. And she got cancer 20 years ago. And she got rid of it. She just changed it. It's not necessary. And all the suffering is unnecessary. All those things are wrong. All those things didn't have to happen. You see what I mean? And if they just understood a few things, everyone could be wealthy, everyone could be healthy, and your body would change their life. Okay? So that feeling that, oh, if people could figure out this thing that we've been talking about, how the person's not coming from their side, if people could figure that out, then there wouldn't be any suffering in the world. Nobody would suffer at all. You see? And then that feeling that that's possible, that's compassion. Okay? That vision of a whole planet of people and no one suffering anymore, no one getting old, no one fighting, no one hungry, everyone has anything they want. Come on, Damon. This is possible if you understand what we've been talking about. The guy who called you stupid, if you understand him, you could change the entire world, would no longer suffer. So to see them suffer, to see 6 billion people suffer would cause you sadness. To see 6 billion people suffer when they didn't have to would cause compassion. Got it? Do you feel a difference? Okay. If people understood what we said about the stupid guy, there would be no death in this world at all. And no one would suffer. And no one would be hungry. Okay? Try to feel that. If you have that feeling in your heart, when you finally see emptiness directly, when you finally see the real nature of the guy, then you can become enlightened. If you have that kind of feeling in your heart, oh, I could change 6 billion people's lives. If you have that feeling in your heart, when you see them, that the guy you thought was there was not there, okay? Then you become a Buddha. The power of the compassion is the difference between nirvana and enlightenment, all right? Good? Yeah. That's all. All
right? What does it really mean when you say they're not there? How do you picture
that? The guy who's calling you stupid, who's not your fault, which is the only one you can get angry at, was never there. He's not there. Because everything's your fault. Sorry. So your wife was right. What I mean is everything good is also your fault. I mean, some people came to me and they said, look, I'm depressed enough already, now you tell me everything's my fault. I said, no. Every good thing is your fault too. Swamiji teaching the Gita, you made it. You created him. You created this ashram. And it's a really beautiful place. Okay, last thing. I wanted to thank everybody at the ashram for having us one more time. I'm very grateful. Rukmini has pestered me until we said we could come back next time. We'll talk about that. And then I have one last thing that I'd like to talk to you about. The first thing is that I say every year that the people who live here and the people who have come here for the teacher training, you are so lucky. This is, I travel constantly. And my whole life is one long jet lag. And this is probably the most beautiful ashram in the world that I've ever seen. And you're very lucky. You're really lucky. And you know, if you live here, you get spoiled and you think, oh, it's... Oh, I don't like the dishwashing and stuff like that. But you're the luckiest people in the world. I think you're the luckiest people in the world. Except for me. But anyway. Now I have my lama. But you're really lucky. And you should understand how lucky you are. And don't anytime you have a doubt or anytime anything seems not perfect, just tell yourself to shut up. Because you're wrong. it's the most beautiful place in the world, really. And not because of the sun and the ocean, which help. But it's the teaching is authentic, the place is authentic, it's guided very compassionately. It's a beautiful place. Teaching is good, the yoga is good, everything is authentic and compassionate. And you're very lucky. So even when you're tired, you shouldn't forget that. That's one thing I'd like to say. Secondly, I'd like to ask a favor, okay? So I was in Hong Kong. I saw the thing about the earthquake in Japan. I wrote to my friends there. We have friends in the yoga community in Japan. And we go there and we teach a lot. And so we called them and then we said, how are things? You know, and they said, because they come to our programs in Mexico a lot. Because they can't get into the U.S. because of Homeland Security. Last time in Mexico, right, a nice Japanese group came. All of our, you know, a good group of our friends from Japan came to the program in Mexico. And when was that? November. Right? November, I think. November. And so, you know, we call them to ask, how is everybody okay? You know? And they say, Kasumi, who's one of the women who came, they said her grandmother lives on the northeast coast, and as soon as she heard there might be a tsunami, she went to get her. And she never came back. She's gone. You know? And it's weird to do yoga next to somebody and then know that they're gone, you know? And she went to try to help her grandmother, and they both got caught. And then we did a Skype program. We did some prayers. We did Buddhist prayers for the dead by Skype. And then one of the lady's son was coughing. And then they realized that he had been drinking the water in Tokyo, which is now not safe for children. Children should not drink the water in Tokyo. There's no other water. It's all sold out. Have to drink the water. There's no choice. So, you know, we're on this video conference. We're doing prayers together. Kasumi is not there anymore. And the children are already getting something sick. And that's not going to stop for 20, 30 years. It's going to keep going. And so, I don't know. I said, can we send you some money? Are you doing anything? They said, yeah, our yoga studio is sending people to the north with blankets and food. And they're still doing that, okay? As we speak, they are still going into the radiation zone and taking blankets and food from the yoga studio. So I'm collecting money for them. I'm asking people to help, okay? We can't do much, okay? It doesn't mean anything. It's not gonna... I feel like it's more of a gesture to say we're with you and we love you and we care about you. See, I don't think whatever we can do is going to really help them that much. But I think what they want right now is someone to care about them. And they want to hear that people are supporting them. So I have some... We're really good at this. We have laptops here. You just push a button and then you give it your credit card number and it takes your money. And send it to them. And if you'd like to do, I'm asking if you want to give $5 or $10 or something. Just the more people, it would be better. If I said I went to Shivananda Center, which they know a lot about, and I said we had a talk, and then, you know, half the people gave something for you, then they would feel happy. It's not that it's going to help a lot. How many blankets they can buy, I don't know. It's not the point. The point is they feel like, oh, the yoga people over there care about us, you know. So if you can... Can you stand up, you guys? It's Darcy, Jigme, Ningbo. Where's Ningbo? There. And Mercedes. Yeah. So they all have laptops. You can do that. Or you can give them cash. Or you can say, you can give them your email and they'll send you the link. And you can do it yourself. Okay? Do something. Do something just for us as a friend. And make sure we know your name. You know, we have to have you. Because we want them to see a long list of that just that people care and that people are trying to help. You know, that's all. It's just like an expression of our love for them. Okay? Good? Let's do something. You know, their problem's going to last for 30, 40 years if they stop the reactor now. And if not, it could be worse. So it's just to say we love you. Okay? Got it? All right. Thank you.
Last 10 years with this connection and cooperation with Bishop Michael Walsh and with this Sangha, with this group that has been coming for many years. And it was, I think, a very fruitful cooperation. And I would like to express my appreciation for Bishop Michael Walsh, for the Sangha, and for what they do. So I'm expressing my appreciation on behalf of myself, but on behalf of the whole ashram. That's.
And also to the band. Marian Jyoti and Mercedes and from Sada Shivananda. And let's give them a big hand. So we actually do have a plan for next year. And it's going to be a continuation of this year program, but it's going to be more in-depth retreat, an intensive retreat on nirvana and how to get there, how to get over negative emotions and limitations. So Geshe Michael will be back here. We still have to figure out the dates. It's going to be an intensive retreat on nirvana, and it will be more. Well, he will go more deeply into the theory and also more practice, more meditation, more exercises. So this time was only an introduction to the ringing. And so follow on the website for the dates. And we very much look forward to having Geshe Michael back and also all these wonderful team that always follow him. Also, we forgot to mention Jinmei, who was not in the band. But